There are single people in the church having sex with each other and then coming to worship. They single, having sex outside of marriage and then coming to church. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, today. But tonight, I'm going another way. There are men and women who are unmarried and who go on trips out of town for the weekend together. Then they'll come back to church and worship and want to serve in ministry.
Welcome to today's broadcast. This is Jerry G. Martin. We're bringing you messages this month on relationships. And today we're going to talk about a subject that we don't hear very much about. It is sexual immorality. This is a message for those who are single and a message for those who are married as well. Every believer needs to walk in purity. Join with us as we talk about this subject today as we walk in the light of God's Word.
In the book of Joshua, they go across the Jordan and make their first entrance into that land, and they take the first city, that's Jericho. But they haven't got there yet. They're still on the east side of the River Jordan, and they are camped out. And they're camped out, and the people on the west side of the Jordan have heard about them and heard about how many there are and how strong they are and how powerful their God is, and they are afraid of them, and they're sitting there. But look, Numbers 25, verse 1 says, while Israel was staying in Shittim, the men begin to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women who invited them to the sacrifice to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods. So Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, take all these leaders of the people, kill them and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to Israel's judges, each of you must put to death those of your men who have joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor. Now, just at first glance, you're just looking at that and you're saying, okay, so these men went out to worship the Baal of Peor with some Moabite women. But as we dig into this, it's much, much more than that. After God had already given them this specific instruction, they already had this instruction about what not to do. If you ever did something that God already said don't do, say amen. God had already given them this instructions. They already knew that. But they're here sitting in the wilderness. They're sitting out there in the wilderness. Ain't nothing going on. You ever felt like ain't nothing going on? Ain't nothing been going on in a long time? My cousin said, Pastor, I know the Bible says it's better to marry than to burn, but I smell smoke. After God had given his instructions not to engage with heathen women, some of the men of Israel were invited and began to indulge in sexual immorality with the Moabite women. Y'all know those Moabite women? Let me tell you about the Moabite women. The Moabite women were those women that's fine and attractive and know how to stand, know how to walk. They wear that outfit, you know, that just fits them just right. That's the Moabite women. While they were staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women who invited them to sacrifice to their gods. I wonder how this happened, that they got invited and the next thing you know, they're over there. The people of God who seen God's hand move in their lives, and now they're out there in the wilderness, and these women invited them to come and have church with them or worship to their God. And the next thing you know, a whole bunch of men are over there. I'm assuming, the scripture doesn't say this, but I know men. There are some men that were looking at the Moabite women before they invited them. Come on, y'all know what that means. There were some men looking at the Moabite women before they got invited, wishing that they could be over there with them. But since God told us not to, I'm just going to say, because men are always looking. See, nobody will say nothing. Men are always looking. We see that. I saw that. And women know men are always looking. That's why some of them come to church dressed any kind of way. And you got to tell them, hey, you coming to church. Don't nobody want to see all them curves and cul-de-sacs. Loosen that stuff up. Men are looking. Don't be no Moabite woman. What's wrong? I like this. Well, it ain't what you like. You got to, well, you're projecting something. See, you had men that were wishing they could be there, and some men who wasn't thinking about it till they saw the women. Some man ain't thinking about doing nothing till he see you. So when you come to church, or you going to the gas station or the mall or wherever you are, recognize that. That's why the Bible talk about dressing wholesome and dressing with modesty. There's still a place for that. You can be stylish and modest. You ain't got to dress like the Moabite folks. Okay, women, y'all getting mad at me already? We just getting started. Where was the guy that was, man, get back over here in case somebody run up there. You must be looking, amen. You done went back over there. Nah, you can't help me at all. I thought you was sitting up here to help me out today in case I got attacked. Help me, Brother Ray. You see somebody grab him from behind. But they didn't just show up. The Moabite women say, come, and they say, all right, we're ready. And there's a process that goes on in the thinking before they go over to start worshiping. There's a process. So these Moabite women, they say, come on over here and worship with us. Now, they wasn't just talking about come over here and stand before our idol and bow down and worship him. The Israelite, these men already knew how they worshiped. Baal worship was sexual orgies. That's how they worshiped Baal. Baal was the god of fertility. And in that arid culture, in that arid environment where it's dry, they say when it's dry like that, Baal must be asleep. And the way to get Baal woken up was to have a lot of sexual activity to wake him up, because they believed that rain was Baal's semen. In order to get his semen to flood over the land, we need to be erotic and wake him up with all this stuff that we're doing. And we don't care whether it's your mama, your sister, your daughter, your papa, whoever's in the pile is in the pile. And the Israelites knew that. We got invited to church. I like the way they worship. And that's why some of them were saying, man, I wish I could go to church over there. I like the way they worship. We got to go in here and offer sacrifices. We got to kill a calf. We got to bow down. We got to tithe. I like the way they worship. Some was already looking. And then when some saw the Moabite women, they said, well, okay, if he going, I'm going. And then there was others, I guarantee you, was talked into it. Come on, man. Come on, man. We going over there where the Moabites are, man. We can't go over there. You know we ain't supposed to go there. Come on, listen. All things are lawful, not all things are expedient. You know the spirit is willing, but you know the flesh is weak. God said he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to forgive us if we just go on over there. He'll forgive. Come on, man. Come on, man. You ain't got to tell him but twice. Okay, well, I'm coming. Because why? I don't want to be by myself. But look at where they were. Getting ready to go in and do a great conquering to receive God's promise. And right before they got ready to go in, here comes the enemy to draw them over to the Moabite women. A lot of times, right before God's getting ready to bless you, here come an opportunity to get you off course. Right when God's already promised, God already got your course set, and here comes the enemy to get you off course. They're ready to get ready to go into Jericho. God's trying to get them ready. If you read the book of Deuteronomy, you'll see in the first few chapters, Moses is re-emphasizing all the law, all the things that God's telling them, and saying, if you walk in God's way, God's going to bless you. He's telling them over and over and over, trying to get them ready to go across that Jordan and live in harmony and peace and blessings and prosperity. The book of Deuteronomy means I'm repeating it again to you. And even with that, that's what happened. They got right in on the fertility rites of Baal right in on those sexual orgies and bowing down and worshiping the other gods. See, when you're ruled by your lust, you will quickly give up anything that stands in your way, even if it's obedience to God. You'll give it up. There's a side light to this story. I'm just going to throw it in here. As I got to looking at this, how many of you were familiar with the story where the king of this land, Balak, called Balaam to put a curse? He was a mystic. He was a false prophet. But they called him and said, these people are getting ready to come in and try to take our territory. Would you put a curse on them? That's in chapter 24. And God said, you can't put no curse on what I bless. God said, you can't curse what I'm going to bless. And so he kept telling Balak, he said, I can't curse him. I can't curse him. I can't curse him. You'll find out if you read on further on, he couldn't curse him, but they got with the Moabite women and said, why don't you invite him on to worship with you then? And since I can't curse him, see if you can entice him. So the devil can't curse you, but he can entice you. Because he can find out just what you like. And he's going to say, come on, turn out the lights and light a candle. Moses is watching all of this breaking away and partying by God's people. He no doubt remembered what happened when he went up to Sinai. Are these the same people that started acting up when I went up to Sinai? Didn't that just happen not too long ago? He instructed the leaders of these riotous practice that they're going to be put to death, and everyone else can witness it. And then that's when the immorality gets even bolder. Look at verse 6. Then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meetings. Now, how bold can you get? Here's one man that done went over there and grabbed him some woman, some foreign woman. He'd been partying over there and thought, well, if I can party over here, I can party over there. So he brought this woman on back home right in front of the preacher. And they at the entrance to the tent of meetings, that's the tabernacle. They're right there praying and weeping and saying, Lord, help us with these people. We don't know. Come on, Lord, change our hearts. God, fill us with your power and with your spirit. And while they're doing that, here comes this dude with this woman and saying, well, you know, if I can do it over there, I can do it over here. And he brings her right on back in front of the pastor. In other words, I'm going to come on up in church with what I'm doing. In other words, he said, I'm coming, I'm open church. And they can't say nothing about what I'm doing. This is my life. I do whatever I want to do. I said that so I won't have to look at nobody. Have you seen people who are living ungodly lives, and when you question them, their response is, now what's the problem? What's up? What? I can see somebody looking at this man. I know he ain't coming in here and bringing his woman all the way up in here after Moses done already said, kill the folk. And he looked at him like, what? This guy was not satisfied to indulge with the ungodly. He brought the ungodly back to indulge with him among the godly. He brought the woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly while they were at the entrance to the tent of the church weeping and seeking God. He's saying, I ain't got no shame in my game. I went over there, had me a good time. I'm going back over here. He's saying, it ain't nobody's business what I do. And I dare anybody to mess with me. Look again, we're told that he also brought this woman before his family. That's what it says. He brought him right before his family. We have people now who see nothing wrong and they're comfortable in church, living and practicing ungodly lifestyles. They're comfortable. They're in church. They come to church. They're comfortable living and practicing ungodly lifestyle, and they've been doing it so frequently that they want to like, what? There are single people in the church having sex with each other and then coming to worship. They ain't married. They single. Having sex outside of marriage and then coming to church like nothing happened. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, today, but tonight I'm going another way. There are men and women who are unmarried and who go on trips out of town for the weekend together. out of this church. Then they'll come back to church and worship and want to serve in ministry. Don't lie to me, say you weren't sleeping together. We were just traveling together trying to keep each other company. You lying. I've been out there. They're going to come and play me. I know I look like I ain't done nothing. No. They're going to come and say, well, Pastor, we were just. No, you ain't just nothing. How y'all do that? You ain't got no business unmarried riding each other to church, coming all together in church like you married. Listen, if you ain't planning on getting married, don't even look at the menu if you ain't finna buy nothing. It don't hurt to look at the menu. I said, you keep looking at the menu, you're going to get something. If you ain't planning on buying nothing, don't even go shopping. There are couples who live together unmarried and say they're committed to God but not committed enough to stop fornicating and get married. We used to call it shacking. Now they call it cohabitating, but it's fornicating. They'll all have an excuse of some kind. But I like what Bishop Martin said. An excuse is what? A dressed up lie with a hat on. They won't call it sin. They will bring themselves to the entrance of the tent of meetings and walk right in like everything is okay. There are teenage boys and girls experimenting with same-sex involvement and think because it is same-sex that it's not an abomination to God. Well, we can try this out. Let's check this out. Let's see. There are men and women who are addicted to pornography. I put women in there, too, because it used to just be men, but the women have equal rights. They want to be addicted to pornography, too. And then on Saturday, they're dealing with pornography and is at church on Sunday to praise. But this guy brings this woman. This woman don't have a clue. Now, here's the woman. Now, she's coming in. She's thinking, well, maybe they like we are. I thought they were different. I thought they served another God. But he says he's bringing me back. And they must worship like we worship. So I'm going to walk on in here with him. It must be okay. Maybe his wife ain't got no problem with it. Maybe the kids, maybe everybody else, maybe their preacher don't have no problem with it. I know my preacher ain't got no problem with it. So what's the problem? She walking in there, busting in there with him. Say, yeah, well, come on. He said, come on, baby, come on. Come on, just come on with me. Come on with me. He said, ooh, man, you should have seen that woman I picked up over there. Shoot, I know I got a line. I just told her, hey, baby, hey, it's me and you. We can roll together. Come on, go with me. Now, notice he brings her. He don't even introduce her to nobody. He just walked by the pastor, walked by the priest, walked by everybody. Just come on. Come on, baby. Come on. She's looking at everything, saying, come on. I want to show you what happened. Verse 7. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into the tent. Now, I want you to get a visual. He drove the spear through both of them, through the Israelite and into the woman's body. What were they doing so quick? One spear drove it through both of them at the same time. Now, listen, I'm wondering, how long did it take him to get a spear? Because, boy, they were getting it on. I've been wrestling with this note in the text here, and I don't want to be unbiblical because the Bible doesn't say. But look at what it says, verse 8. He followed the Israelite into the tent. It didn't say he followed him into his tent. It didn't say he followed him into a tent. The only tent that was mentioned prior to was the tent of meetings. And I'm wondering, I know he didn't take her into the tent. Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but I've been researching, I've been looking to try to see, you know, in the Old Testament and everywhere else in the Hebrew text and everything to see if they mention it. It doesn't say, but I'm just reading. They say the tent. Moses and the elders were standing outside of the tent of meetings. I said, I know he ain't bold enough to say, but he could have thought, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come over here and maybe we can start this kind of ministry at our church. Why not? Maybe God would accept this kind of worship. And I guarantee you there are people that have started all kinds of stuff going on at their church that's ungodly. There's somebody advertising now. He's the pastor and this is the first man. If you haven't seen that yet. We can worship like that at our church. There are churches where you can go and you can trade mates. At our church. We can worship like that at our church. And I got a feeling this man, he was so bold to come back right in front of the pastor. He probably thought, well, you know, maybe our God would like to worship like this. But somebody said it ain't so. Somebody had the righteous anger that rose up in him and said, no, I ain't gonna let you come in here and start that right over here. That was Phineas. He rose up, got him a spear, said, I'll take care of this myself. He grabbed his spear. He drove it through them at the same time. And the Bible said there was a plague that was going on and the plague stopped. Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, don't y'all go down that pathway. I know what it's like out there in the culture. I know what they're doing. But you've been saved. You saying that you want God's blessings in your life. What about you? Do you want God's blessings and favor in your life? That's the key. Do you want God to use you for his glory? Then you need to know this. God is watching. He's watching for idolaters. He's watching for sexual immorality. Paul said this in the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to close with this. He said from 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, this is only for those who are saved. Now, if you're not saved, then you can't do that no way. But if you're saved, he said, now listen, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you? So honor God with your body. Can a Christian really maintain a pure thought life and live a holy life style in the midst of a perverse generation? Absolutely, surely can. Can those who become entangled with sexual and immoral lifestyle get the victory over it? Absolutely.
I certainly hope that you've enjoyed this message as we have addressed a subject matter we don't hear addressed very often these days. Our society has progressed to the point where sexual immorality has been normalized. People are functioning in that way. Outside of the church, and unfortunately, even in the church. God wants us to be different. He said that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. I want to challenge every believer to look at how you are living. There are people in the church that's dealing with sexual immorality, pornography, and all kinds of things. The good news is God can and will deliver you if you would go to him and ask his help. We're standing by at the Light of the World to join you in whatever struggle you are having in your walk with the Lord. Call us at 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393, and we will pray with you and pray for you. If you don't get through to someone, just leave a message and we will surely follow up with you. I also want to give you an opportunity to join us in our church service at the Light of the World, 16161 Old Humble Road. Our Sunday morning services are at 10. We're still meeting in person and we're meeting online at lowcf.org. lowcf.org. If you need Christian resources like books, Bibles, Sunday school supplies, communion supplies, offering envelopes, call us at the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus, 281-441-2885. Now, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.